This morning, we're going to be jumping back into lament and what that means, but let's pray real quick, and then we'll get going. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the time that we have to be here. Thank you for the building that we have to be here and just the blessings that you've given us, God. I pray that as we get into the word this morning, that we are just looking into what you've told us, the truth that you've given us, and that it wouldn't be our opinions or our pride or anything that would distract us from the truth, but that we would just be able to get some wisdom and some connection and help us to glorify you and how we live our lives, God. And we just love you so much. Amen. All right, so Pastor Mark is out this week. He is actually going to be at the Southern Baptist Convention in somewhere in Texas, somewhere, one of those cities. I think it starts today, and it'll be through Tuesday, so you pray for him. There's big stuff going on, and just pray for him because they're eight-hour business meetings, and I don't envy that at all. But so this morning, we're going to continue looking at lament. The last 2 weeks, we've been looking at lament. And first, we looked at what is a lament. And we talked about how it is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. These prayers that we're talking about, they acknowledge that evil does exist, that we do go through hard times, and we go through bad things in our lives that can truly rock us to our core. And lamenting, learning how to pray through those times, is learning how to live between the idea of a hard life and also trusting in God's sovereignty. That's a hard thing to do, and that's what lamenting helps us with. These prayers we find a lot are in Psalms, and they're prayers that we can pray as well. And then last week, we looked at how to lament. We looked at this general outline that we see in most laments and what they contain. We talked about how you begin by turning to God in prayer, letting God know our complaints, making bold requests, calling upon God to act according to his nature, and then, of course, ending to and choosing to trust. Even through our struggles and hard times, making the choice to trust in God and who he is, even while we're still in the midst of those dark times. So our natural instincts a lot of times in these hardships that come up in our lives, a lot of times they can lead us to either stay silent and not talk to God through them because we think we should only be happy or we should just always be grateful, and or it can lead us to turn away from God completely. And a lot of times we get stuck in those two areas, either just giving God the silent treatment or just turning away. And the thing is, I've really enjoyed learning about lament because it gives us a tool to walk through those struggles and go through those times without giving in to either one of those possibilities. It offers us a biblical way to approach God through these significant battles that we have. So today, we're going to be looking at learning from lament. So these moments in our lives, these dark times that we have, the struggles, the hardships, all these things that affect us so deeply, they can offer new perspectives of how to look at things. We can probably all understand that pain makes us look at things differently and opens our eyes. I'm sure any adult, any young person can understand that when you go through hard times, you really start to see things different. When you lose a loved one, you start to look at life a little bit differently. When you go through a time where I just don't have any money in my bank account, or I haven't talked to my family in years, that kind of shifts your perspective. You look at things a little bit differently. C.S. Lewis, an author that's pretty famous, he put it this way. He said, "We can ignore pleasure sometimes, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." I liked that. Pain is how we really get shook, and sometimes how God can just take you by the shoulders and say, "Hey, you got to look at this." And so not only is lamenting a prayer that is meant to help us express our frustrations, but it offers a moment of growth. We can learn from our lamenting and look at biblical laments to strengthen our relationship with God. So this morning, to do that, we're going to be taking a bird's eye view of the book of Lamentations. So if you want, you can go ahead and flip to Lamentations chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. And again, I want to overemphasize, we're just doing a bird's eye view. We're just flying over, all right? But as you're flipping there, you've got a minute, so take your time. But as you're flipping there, this is a book of the Bible that is a historical lament that offers important lessons that should be remembered. Lament is not just an expression of sorrow, but it's a memorial. A memorial has a purpose, especially biblical memorials. See, when I hear a biblical memorial, the first thing I think of is this time when God commanded the Israelites, after he parted the Jordan River so that he could allow them into the promised land, he commanded that they build memorials so that they would remember what he had done for them that day. He commanded them to make these memorials so that, don't forget, the human race, we tend to have this thing happen. We have a tendency to forget things, and forgetfulness is the enemy of faithfulness. If you forget what God has done for you, it can become an enemy in your life. And so when we look at the book of Lamentations as a type of memorial, it can remind us that there's a purpose, something for us to learn and to see from it. So this book that we're going to be taking a glance at, the book of Lamentations, is going to be a memorial. And so as we jump in on this high-level overview, it's helpful to understand what this book of the Bible is about. So a little bit of background, just so you know. Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah to reflect on the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. He wanted to make sure that the generations that followed would never forget the lessons learned from this really dark moment in Israel's history. So after the reigns of King David and King Solomon, the country of Israel kind of split into two. There was a northern section and a southern section. The northern country retained that name Israel, and then the southern kingdom was called Judah. And the northern kingdom, they pretty much had all evil kings that turned away from God and didn't live the way that he commanded, and it was eventually conquered by Assyria. And this should have warned the southern kingdom of Judah about not following God and doing the right things, but eventually they ended up doing the same thing, and they started sinning against God and turning away from things that he had commanded them. So a new empire, Babylon, they staged a 3-year siege of Jerusalem, the capital city of Judah, that southern kingdom. 3 years. And finally, after 3 years, they breached the walls and completely destroyed the city. They burned the temple down. They ransacked the palace, and they tore down the city walls. This was a huge city. The temple was like the heartbeat of being an Israelite. And they burned it to the ground. They tore the city walls down. Everything of value was taken back to Babylon, and the people were either exiled or taken as slaves. And so this is the moment in their country's history that Jeremiah is going to be talking about in this book of Lamentations, this dark, dark moment that happened. This was one of the darkest moments in their history, in their story. And this book of Lamentations is going to take time to recognize the pain and the terribleness of what happened. So you can see there's a story behind what's written in Lamentations, just like there's a story behind the pain in our lives. And whether it's this story or the destruction of Jerusalem or it's our own individual complicated lives, there are lessons to be learned from lament. Lament doesn't just allow a moan of pain to become a prayer to God, but it can memorialize the message beneath the struggle if we choose to listen and not forget what God's trying to show us. So, Lamentations chapter 1 and 2, they introduce the theme of the book, this groaning, the angriness of what has happened to Jerusalem. When you read through it, you notice there's this tone that Jeremiah has. He's really sad in some moments, and he's really angry in some moments. And if we look at the first verse in both chapters, you can see a little bit of that. So chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people." And then chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "How the Lord in his anger has set the daughter of Zion under a cloud." These verses begin with the word "how." And in the Hebrew, that was actually the original title of the book. We call it Lamentations, but they used to call it just the book "How," because it reflected the struggle of this event. How is this going on? It gives this sense of weeping and lamenting over some sad event that happened. How could this happen? How could God let this happen to us? How do we not know what the future holds? How did all this come about? That's what the book was called originally. And so already we see how relatable this is. How many times have you been through life and you think, how is this happening right now? How is it that I'm supposed to know that or think that God loves me and I'm in the darkest moment of my life right now? That's relatable. That's what's going on here. But look at verses 1 through 5. It's a lot, so if you have your Bible, you can look there, or I'm going to read it here. Verses 1 through 5, it says, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow has she become. She who was great among the nations, she who was a princess among the provinces, has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile because of affliction and hard servitude. She dwells now among the nations, but finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for none come to the festival. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan, her virgins have been afflicted, and she herself suffers bitterly. Her foes have become the head, her enemies prosper, because the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away, captives before the foe." Man, he doesn't really hold back here. And if you continue reading chapters 1 and 2, you get this really overwhelming sense of this desperation. That's why, as I've grown up in church, I honestly haven't heard any lessons on Lamentations. I haven't heard any preaching on Lamentations, because everybody has this idea it's just a downer, right? It's got this connotation of, oh, that's just a sad book. I don't want to look into that. And so we get this idea that it's a desolation. There's desolation that has taken over this place, that their enemy has completely won, and there's this feeling of hopelessness in what they've endured. And the thing is, Jeremiah makes it clear what the cause is. And it's because the Lord has afflicted her. In verse 5, it said that Jeremiah has no problem identifying that even though it was Babylon that attacked and conquered them, that God was ultimately in control of what was going on. So these terrible things that have happened, life is not what they expected, but Jeremiah understands the cause and the who of what is in control of it. Look at these descriptions of their sins. The first one is chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what it says. "Jerusalem sinned grievously. Therefore, she became filthy. All who honored her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns her face away." This is the city of Jerusalem. "Her cleanness was in her skirt. Her uncleanness was in her skirts. She took no thought of her future. Therefore, her fall is terrible. She has no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed." We see this recognition of Jerusalem has sinned, and the Lord sent the enemy to them. And who did it all? Look at chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Again, it says, "The Lord has swallowed up without mercy all the habitations of Jacob. In his wrath, he has broken down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought down to the ground in dishonor the kingdom and its rulers. He has cut down in fierce anger all the might of Israel. He has withdrawn from them his right hand. And the face of the enemy, he has burned like a flaming fire in Jacob, consuming all around." It's so clear. Jeremiah makes it so clear that this is through the hand of God. The message through these first two chapters is made clear. The people are facing judgment from God because of their sin. Their sinfulness led to their brokenness. And so while we know God values his people, there's something more important than that. There's something more important than the preservation of the city: God's righteousness. And this is a hard lesson to learn, that more important than the circumstances in our lives, more important than our being comfortable, more important than the material things that we have, the righteousness of God holds a higher place in all those. There's devastation in this prayer and a brokenness all through the first two chapters of Lamentations. And as Jeremiah describes it all, he makes a clear connection that God has used this for his purposes. Through these pictures of a broken city and a torn down city, we can start to see Lamentations as a memorial. Jeremiah is using this to make sure that people don't forget, that they don't forget what's happened here. God is merciful and long-suffering, but Rebellion has its consequences. The fall of Jerusalem reminds us of the powerful nature of sin and the sacredness of God's holiness. Sin really is that bad, and God really is that holy. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we have this glancing view of sin where it's not that bad. I'm not doing too much. It's not really doing anything. I don't do anything that bad. That's not the view that we get here from Jeremiah. Sin really is that bad. It can cause so much destruction. And opposite of that, God really is that holy. He really is the perfect standard. He really is the perfection that we can see. All lament and suffering have their roots in the fallen state of the world. Sorrow and pain, they find their beginning through the rebellion against God's reign. And now, taking a step back, we definitely are not saying that all suffering you experience is directly connected to a sin in your life. That's not what we're saying. Not every painful circumstance is because of some sin that you or I committed. Sometimes that is the case. But we have to be careful not to over-apply to the situation that we see here in Lamentations. But we also don't want to ignore the caution that we see here about sin. Because there's a big picture about sin that we can see here. There's a big picture. As Christ followers, it would be a mistake to overlook the connection between the fallen state of man, our sinfulness, and the pain that's in this world. The book of Romans, without going into every single little word and every single verse, the book of Romans, it gives us a great understanding that all have fallen short of the glory of God. And the result, the wages of sin is, anybody? Wages of sin is? There we go. All right. Y'all are paying attention. Awesome. So, Romans makes it clear that we've all fallen short and that the wages of sin is death. And the effect of this collective sin that we're all a part of is a broken world. Starting all the way back in the beginning with Adam and Eve, we are part of this broken world, this sinfulness. We should understand that beneath every painful aspect of our humanity lies the reality of sin. Every terrible thing in this world owes its beginning to sin. Without sin, there would be no lament. Sin is what causes the hard times in life. And so without sin, there would be no need for lament. And so because of that, we have a need. We have a need for a God and a Savior to make things right. So underneath the destruction of Jerusalem, we see in the first two chapters of Lamentations, we see that underneath all the pain and sorrow we experience, and underneath our laments, there's a real problem, sin. That is part of the memorial of Lamentations. We see that the problem in the world is sin and that God is the only one who can make things right. Even though we didn't live through this destruction that Jeremiah is telling us about, we can see the effects of a broken world and what's going on. And more importantly than understanding, it's easy, I think, to look out and see that the world's broken. You don't got to spend but 5 minutes on Facebook or 10 minutes watching the news and you can see, man, the world's broken. But we truly, truly need to understand that God is the only one who can make it right. And so continuing our bird's eye view, so that was chapter 1 and 2. Looking at chapter 3, we can see, though, that Jeremiah doesn't just lament his pain and suffering. He allows it to point his heart towards what he knows to be true despite what his eyes see. This is why laments are important, and they can help transform our hearts. It doesn't just give a voice to the pain that we're feeling, but it roots and it anchors your heart to the truths that we believe, or the ones that we're trying to cling to through the dark storms that we have in our lives. And again, I always want to pause. I hate using these vague concepts all the time, these hard times, these struggles, the storms that come. We have these things in our lives where these medical conditions that we can't explain. We have these things, we have these troubles in marriages that we can't explain. We have the death of a loved one or a friend or something that happened and we can't explain. Those are the hard times that we're talking about here. It's not just, oh, I had a bad day. We go through difficult, difficult times. And through these times, I know a lot of us have tried to cling to the things that we knew to be true. We know that God loves us, but I don't understand how God can love me and I can go through this. And Jeremiah is going to give us a great way to get through our lives and understand how to do that. And so chapter 3 is split into two sections with this. So we're not going to read all these, but verses 1 through 20, that's the first section. They are dark and they are hopeless. And they really lean into the weeping of Jeremiah. All right, and so just to give you a taste, look at verses 1 through 4. So chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. He says, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. The suffering of Jeremiah starts in chapter 1 and 2. He's talking about the city and destruction. Now it's turned really personal all of a sudden. And he's really, really feeling things. He's really in his emotions right now. He reaches this spiritual low in the beginning of chapter 3. It's a desperate feeling. The end of that section, skip down to verses 17 through 20. It says, my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Man, what grief he's feeling right here. And you know, one thing that surprised me, I honestly didn't feel super familiar with what was going on here. It kind of shocked me to read these words in the Bible. That section where it says, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. He's really saying what probably a lot of us feel a lot of times in life. A lot of times we just feel like, I've got no hope. There's no way I can get through this. There's no way I can trust God right now. He's voicing that, and it's in the Bible. It's in every single Bible you've ever held. And maybe you didn't know it was there. There's this emotional honesty that he has that maybe we've never paid attention to in the Bible. This hopelessness and sorrow and uncertainty and what it is that God has planned. Have you ever been there? I feel comfortable saying a lot of us experience that type of moment in our lives. But doesn't it help to know that it's in the Bible? That one of the biggest prophets of the Old Testament felt the same way. That moment that we feel, Jeremiah felt that. An author, the author of the book that we're using through this series, Mark Rogop, he put it this way. He said, the good news is that if you're at the bottom, God can meet you there. That's where Jeremiah is right now. He's at the bottom. He's feeling as alone as he ever could. Remember in verse 4, I think he said, my bones are broken. That's how bad he felt. He's at the bottom. But God can meet you right there. Because we're going to see that in verse 21 in chapter 3 is the key to all this. It's the turning point. Start in verse 21 and we'll read through verse 24. It says, but this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. In the middle of his suffering and pain, he's literally at his lowest moment. Like, it started, he was sad in chapter 1 and 2. He was overwrought over the city. And then, starting in chapter 3, he is really broken here. He is down at the bottom of his life. In the middle of his suffering and pain, Jeremiah calls to mind the truth that he knows about God. He still has hope despite all that he is feeling. Lament dares to hope while life is still hard. This is where we learn to walk by faith, while we're in the middle of it. We always think, well, once I get through this, I can get back to God and everything. That's not what we see here. In the middle of the pain, Jeremiah is turning to God. The book of Lamentations, it shows us that hope does not come from a change of circumstances. It comes from what you know to be true despite the situation in front of you. Even though it doesn't look like anything that you like, it doesn't look like what you want to be happening, despite all that, that's where hope comes from. In our humanness, in our dark times, we don't let ourselves have hope until we see something change for the better. That's what our natural instinct is. We don't let ourselves hope until, oh, okay, it's starting to make a turn. I can start to see my boss is starting to get nice now. He's in a better mood. Or, oh, I got a few more dollars in my bank account. I got a little bit of hope now. Or, You know, my mom talked to my dad for the first time a couple weeks ago. That's some good news. We always want to wait on this moment, but that's not what we're seeing here. Jeremiah is showing us that when we have the Almighty Father, that is not where our hope is found in, by something changing. Our hope is found in just knowing who God is. Just knowing his characteristics, knowing who he is. Seeing this, we can have courage to do the same in our lives. That when we're at our lowest times and in our darkest places, when we wonder, where are you, God? Why doesn't God love me? He's not taking care of me. I feel abandoned and alone. There's no way God still cares if I'm going through all this. When we feel those things, we can remember, we can look to the book of Lamentations as our example, that during those times, we call to mind who God is and have hope. That we can rehearse to ourselves what we know to be true about God. We can call the promises of God to our minds, and therefore, we can have hope. That we can interpret pain through the lens of God's mercy and sovereignty. That as what we're looking at, what we're seeing in our lives right this moment, it doesn't make sense with our eyes, but maybe we can look through the lens of lament and understand that God is merciful and he is sovereign. And the characteristics that Jeremiah calls upon here, first, in verse 22, he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. These things are such great reminders for us while we're in dark times. The steadfast of the Lord is the ultimate hope for God's people. Knowing that it never quits, it never gives up, even when we feel like we don't want to see it right now. Sometimes even whenever we don't want to see it, it's still there. Knowing that his mercy never comes to an end. The eternity of God and who that is that helps us, it can stay, help us stay rooted in the promise of who he is. Knowing that those things are never going to change, that they are new every morning. Each day we see evidence of God's grace and there's this possibility of renewal and repentance. God supplies the mercy and grace that we need every day. We can endure through those hard times because divine mercy is never exhausted. You can never use it all up. He's never gonna run out. It's new every morning. We're so used to things coming to an end. We're so used to the inconsistency of the people around us that maybe sometimes we forget that God's not like that. You know, we get used to, well, I had this friend for 20 years and they're gone, or, you know, I had that job for 5 years and that's gone, and that's just the norm. We're used to that. God's not that way. God's not that way. We can hold on knowing that these things will always be there and never change. And above it all, above all of that, God's mercy leads us to himself. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. When we're stripped of everything and all we have is him, when we don't have anything else in our lives, nothing else is looking good for us, we feel like there's nothing else that we have. We have him, and that is enough. To have God is enough. God is everything we really need. The love that we have from him, the promises that he gives us, his steadfast love never ends. He is sufficient for all we have in life. Our hope is not dependent on these ever-changing circumstances that we have in our lives, but our hope is in a God who never stops being merciful. So, this lesson that we can learn from Lamentations, it can be a memorial in our lives if only we make the effort to remember. These are all moments that we have in our lives. I know we do. I've had them. I could go through a list of them and cry right here in front of you on stage, so I'm not going to do it. But we all have those moments. This movement of Jeremiah in chapter 3 right here is an inspiring show of how to live through dark times and how lament leads us to God. Look at the movement that we see in the span of such a short time. Look at, and this is just in chapter 3. In chapter 3 in verse 17, Jeremiah says, my soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. We see him right there. He says, all happiness is gone. Then get to verse 21. It says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. He's choosing to turn. He's choosing to pivot. And then look at verses 55 through 58. look and see where he's going to end up. And this is all in one chapter. He says, I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. Man, that's a big change. But that's an example that we have from the Bible to help us get through these times. And from the outside looking in, from the world looking in at us, this would seem pretty crazy. That you can go from being super low and choosing to turn and understand that God's with you. That can probably look pretty crazy for people that don't understand. But we can understand that even when we feel like we've hit rock bottom, God is enough for us. Knowing that God is for us and that our eternity is based on who God is and what he has done for us, rather than our circumstances, rather than what we've done in life, rather than this list of things that we think we've done right and things that we think we've done wrong, how good it looks, how good we think our lives look to other people and how impressive it is. Rather than all those things, our hope and security is found in knowing that God is near when we call on him. Rather than depending on those circumstances, we choose to depend on God. And so, as we finish up, as the musicians come back up, I just encourage you to try to remember that God is enough, that Christ is. There's this phrase that I heard from an artist that I like. He said, Christ is what Christ offers. What we need from God is just him. That's what we need, the promises that he gives us. This is one of the lessons that we can learn from lament. And if we let it, this book of Lamentations can help be that memorial to help us remember to turn to who God is in the midst of the storms in our lives rather than after. In the midst of the storms, we can turn to him and understand that he has us in his hands, that he loves us, that his mercies never end, and that he is enough for us. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for the honesty that we can see here from Jeremiah, the brokenness, the hurt that we can see in Jeremiah's life. Because God, we have those moments. We have those moments in our lives, and they are true, they're valid, they're sincere pain that is in our hearts and in our lives, God. But more importantly, thank you for giving us an example of how to get through those times, that we can choose to turn and understand that we have hope, that we can call to mind who you are, and that can bring hope into our lives, to understand that your mercy and your love and your goodness is there, and that you are enough for us, God. Pray that you help us remember that this wouldn't just be a short little sermon we listen to one Sunday, but that it would be a memorial in our minds to help us through those hard times and to help us when other people are going through those times, God. Help us to remember that. Help it to be a memorial in our hearts and in our minds. And God, just help us to do what we can to bring glory to you in all the moments in our lives, even in the hard times and the good times, just understanding that you are enough, God. And we just praise you for who you are. Amen.